Welcome to another broadcast of the Florida Free Speech Forum on WUFT and WJUF. This program was recorded on Monday, January 11th, 2010, at the Paramount Hotel and Conference Center in Gainesville. And today's guest speaker will be Onelia Lazzari, the Concurrency Management Planner for the City of Gainesville. She will discuss the major planning issues facing Gainesville for the next 10 years and will address the importance of the comprehensive plan for the future of Gainesville. Arnie Bleiweiss, Vice President of the Florida Free Speech Forum, will open today's program.
Good afternoon. My name is Arnie Bleiweiss. I'm the Vice President of the Florida Free Speech Forum. Welcome to the January 11th, 2010 meeting of the forum. The Florida Free Speech Forum intends to serve as the foremost bastion of free speech in the southeastern United States. To that end, we stand proud of our success as a provider of monthly forums for 14 years. For more information about the Florida Free Speech Forum, you may visit us on our website at floridafreespeech.org, and you'll find upcoming program information, links to the archives of past programs, get a membership form, and communicate with the forum leadership through email. When you join the forum, please be sure to give us your email so that we may communicate with you in a timely manner. Our forum does not endorse candidates. We don't take sides on issues other than the issue of exercising the right of free speech. And to that end, our mission is one of total commitment. Questions after the presentation make an important contribution to the forum. We ask questioners not to state their opinions, but simply to ask a question in a manner that would elicit more information on the topic being discussed. So when the floor is open for questions, please come to the microphone, state your name and your question. The forum meets at the Paramount Resort and Conference Center in Gainesville, Florida, from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. on the second Monday of the month, September through May. Forum programs and the question and answer session that follows are recorded and rebroadcast by WUFT-FM and WJUF-FM on the first Sunday of next month at 11 o'clock a.m. Reservations can be made by calling 335-3938 no later than the Thursday before the Monday of the meeting. Now I'd like to introduce our program chair, Paul Hargrave, who will introduce today's speakers.
Thank you, Arnie. Our speaker today is Ms. Onelia Lazzari, who is Concurrency Management Planner with the City of Gainesville. Ms. Lazzari has been a planner with the City of Gainesville for over 23 years. Her specialty areas are transportation planning, concurrency management, demographics and population projection, land use planning, and zoning. Ms. Lazzari has spoken on transportation concurrency issues several times before the annual Florida Chamber of Commerce Growth Management Short Course, and will be speaking again at the conference in Orlando in February. She's been awarded Departmental Employee of the Year three times during her career. Today, Ms. Lazzari will present a discussion of the major planning issues in Gainesville that have been identified for the next 10 years. She will also provide an update of our comprehensive plan and why that document is so important for future planning in the community. Included will be a discussion of the comprehensive planning process and how citizens can be involved. Her title is Major Planning Issues in the City of Gainesville.
Thank you all very much for coming out on such a cold day. I really appreciate that. As Paul indicated, I've worked for the city for over 23 years, and I've seen a lot of changes during that time. But I suspect that many of you, my person that was sitting next to me at lunch today said he'd been here since 1960. So I'm certain that many of you have seen more changes even than I have. I'd like to start out with talking a little bit about city planning and what our organization is like, and then secondly go on to talking about the comprehensive plan, and then third I'd like to talk about our evaluation and appraisal report, which is the item about the major issues in planning. And then finally, I'd like to cover a little bit about the U.S. Census that's going to take place this year, and you'll be getting your forms in March, and I just want to urge everyone to fill those out, but we're going to do a reminder about that at the end, and then I'll be happy to take any questions that you might have. First of all, can everybody hear me out there? Yes. Okay, good. Thank you. The major planning issues that we have are related to our evaluation and appraisal report, which is a document that we have to submit to the state by the end of this year. And it covers for the next 10 to 20 years what we think the big issues in Gainesville will be. First of all, a little background about city planning. And I always say that we're a schizophrenic bunch because we're firmly stuck in both the present and the future. The current planning folks work on day-to-day issues, the site plan for what is going where that's under construction. And as an example, many of us worked on the site plan for the new CVS, I'm old school, remember CVS is Eckerd's, that's going on Northwest 13th Street and Northwest 16th Avenue. If you like the way that that looks and you think it's a great design, it's because of our comprehensive plan. Those are the day-to-day folks in current planning. The futurists are 10 to 20 years in the future. And we're looking about what will Gainesville be like 10, 20, 30 years in the future, and what do we need to do to get there. We also deal with specific uses and permitting those. If there's an existing building, is what's going in there the correct use according to the zoning? So again, we have this dichotomy. We deal with every day, what's now, but we also deal with the future. And one of the ways that we learn how to deal with the future is by looking at the past and looking at the present. What do we like and what do we not like in the community? And we need citizens' assistance with that. And that's why we have public hearings about all of our comprehensive plan measures. All of our site plans are public hearings. All of our zoning regulations are public hearings. So if you are a free speech forum, you are welcome guests. That's exactly what we are about. Now, I know that you're not supposed to, support particular opinions in this particular forum, but that's what we are all about with our public hearings, is that we have all sides present to express their opinions in a free public forum. And then the decision makers, who are either plan board members or city commissioners, have to make the final judgment on what will happen. And I know John Reiskin back there served on our city plan board for many years and heard the long, long hearings. It's a long process sometimes that you go through. But in the end, it's the public's will or the majority's will that comes out. And that's what's really good about planning, is that we are all about public participation. The city has recently kicked off a process called the evaluation and appraisal report process. We look at our comprehensive plan, and it's like a report card. What was good? What was bad? What do we need to do? And the state has asked us to provide them with what our major issues are. And again, in looking at the past and the present, we have come up with 8 major issues that we will be working on. These were voted to move forward in December by the City Commission, and we'll start holding hearings probably in February through December of this year, and you are more than welcome to come to all of those hearings about our different comprehensive plan elements. Some of the major, I'm going to go through those major issues for you. One of them has to do with clarifying activity centers, mixed use, and urban design requirements. And that probably sounds a little esoteric, so I'm going to talk about what that means. We have a problem in this community in terms of where shopping centers or mixed-use centers where you want to go for either entertainment, your shopping, or your retail needs and some of your office needs should be located. And so we're trying to clarify those requirements. We've also had confusion over about the past 10 years over whether there should be a mix of residential and non-residential uses within those activity centers. And we're working on trying to make a decision about that. In the meantime, we've had a sort of major financial crisis, and there are a lot of vacant apartment units in town. You kind of drive by those all the time with the big signs, you know, $1,250 to sign a lease and a scooter, or $2,000 and something to sign a lease. So that's one area that we're looking at. The other is urban design requirements. And this is one of those where there's not everyone has the same taste, but we are trying to avoid the garish orange buildings, and I know there are a lot of gators in the room, and that's a favorite color around here, but maybe not so much on the exteriors of buildings. And the way that the building looks, how it approaches the street, things like that. And again, we worked very hard over the past 10 to 20 years to try to improve that, but we think we need to step up and do a better job of that. The next major issue is establishing policies for the reduction of greenhouse gases. And this is a state law requirement. We have to look at how we design our city to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. One of the ways that we can do that is better transit, better mobility within the community, instead of having single occupant cars. The other way is to use land better. We've got some empty parcels now where bankruptcies have occurred. I don't know if you've noticed, but there was a Whataburger on University Avenue just west of 34th Street. That's now vacant. We spent a lot of time trying to get that designed properly, and now it's gone. If we can reuse those buildings where they are as opposed to going to vacant land further out on the fringe, that will also help us with greenhouse gas reductions. The third area or issue is encouraging livable neighborhoods for people of all ages. And this is one that's very sort of near and dear to our hearts. And many of us as planners have had parents who have been in a home and had to move away from that home simply because the design wasn't done properly, or they didn't live in an area that was close enough to shopping that when they had to give up of an automobile because of age or disability, that they could easily walk or take transit to the shopping. The other is to look at affordable housing. We have a homeless problem in the community, and we also want to look at making housing affordable for workers. Teachers, police officers all don't earn the big bucks, but they need a safe, good place to live. The next issue is number four, is fund transportation choice. And what we mean by this is we need to look at ways to better fund transit, sidewalks, bicycle lanes, bicycle facilities in the community to give people a broader choice than just having to drive a car. The other thing that we need to do is look at what level of service we have to fund, because if you had an infinite amount of money, we could do a lot, but we don't. But again, we have to look at what quality and quantity of service that we want to provide. And many of you have probably read in the newspaper about a full bus problem that we have in the student-oriented areas, where a bus will drive past patrons waiting to get on the bus simply because the bus is already full. And not only full, all seats, but there are people standing in the aisles. There are usually about 40 seats on the bus, and we're carrying around 60 to 70 people on the buses because some are standing. So we have to make a decision about what quality of service we want to provide. The next major issue is amending the future land use map as justified by need. And I don't know if any of you are in the legal profession, but there was a case in Marion County where actually a development was overturned because they could not prove that there was a demonstrated need for the extra housing units associated with that development. And has always been a state requirement, but they're now really emphasizing that. And that's something that we want to look at also, because we're good planners. Many areas of Florida are vastly more overbuilt than Gainesville, although we have a problem here. And so we're going to be paying closer attention to what do we need, not just what do people want to build. The sixth area is encouraging infill and redevelopment in Central and East Gainesville. One of my tasks as a planner is to look at demographic information, and I handle some of the population projections for the city. And in that role, one of the things that we've discovered is that over the past 20 to 30 years, we've had population decline in Central and East Gainesville, and what I call the westward ho movement. Everybody's moved out to the western part of the community. And what we've got is things that are left behind. We've got some vacant buildings that we'd like to fill. We've got housing stock that isn't as probably attractive as it could be. And we've got sort of the new problem of what I call the auto dealership issue on North Main Street. And I don't know if you've noticed, if somebody had asked me 2 years ago, would I predict that General Motors would be in financial trouble, would never have come up with that. But we've got dealerships that have gone out of business on North Main Street. We need to think about adaptive reuse for those properties. How can we take those vacant seas of asphalt and, you know, sort of not very useful buildings and reuse them for something good for the community? How can we infill vacant parcels that have been left behind? And again, as I talk, you start to see how all of these things are interrelated, that you need to think about infill and redevelopment to reduce greenhouse gases, to help us with our transportation problems, to better the community as a whole. The next major issue is number seven, navigate the new economy. And again, I repeat that I would never have predicted 2 or 3 years ago that we would be in the financial straits that we are. I assure you my 401k program would look a lot better if I had had that knowledge. But we have sort of a crossroads here, that we have to fit urban planning in with the new economy. There's bad news and there's good news in the community. We know there are rising foreclosures. We know there are bankruptcies and empty buildings that we need to fill. On the other hand, Gainesville is uniquely situated for what is known as the innovation economy. We have a major, very bright group of people at the State University, at University of Florida. We have a lot of sort of spin-off types of things that have happened as a result of the University of Florida. And I think that we are uniquely situated to participate in the new economy, especially the green economy, things like new energy technology, new technologies for biological types of things, all of those are very, very uniquely available to us in this community. But what we have to do is figure out how to help that process along. And that's one of the things, again, that we do in our comprehensive plan. And the last issue has to do with strengthening our natural resource protection. One of the big issues in the state of Florida, and it will be even a rising more greater issue over the next 3 to 4 years, is water, both water quality and water quantity. And if you haven't been reading about this, you should start paying attention to it, because right now Gainesville is in a good position. We have abundant, clean water available for our community. But there are folks that want to grab water supplies in North Florida to funnel them to South Florida or even up to Georgia and Alabama. So we are always in negotiations about water issues. We also need to protect our water quality, and we do this with various types of regulations, both in the comprehensive plan and in our zoning code, about where you can develop near our well field areas, which are off Northwest 53rd Avenue. We also need to protect upland areas. These are areas that we have fairly good wetland protections in our comprehensive plan, but we have not done a good enough job on our upland protection, which is where we have good habitat for wildlife in the community. I wanted to speak just for a minute about why it's important that you get involved with the comprehensive plan. First of all, it is not just a useless document that sits on the shelf. I'll show you what it looks like. I have a well-worn copy. It is available online, and it is available also at the public library. I indicated to you that people win lawsuits based on the comprehensive plan, that things that are in there are law, and communities, local governments have to abide by them. If we stray from that, we are liable. It also sets the pattern for the future that, you know, the old saying about, if you take a road, you know, you don't know where you're going. But if you have a plan and you know where you're going for the future, then you have a better means of getting there. But we need some community consensus as to what the community will be like. A lot of people that I speak with don't want Gainesville to become like South Florida. And I can tell you that I personally have worked very hard because I call myself a refugee from the Tampa area. And Tampa is kind of a nice area, but I spent 3 of the worst years of my life there because of the traffic, the signage, the way that the community is developed is just sprawl. And we want to really protect this community and make it better. So if you want to get involved with that, you really need to be involved not with just whatever the current hot issue of the day, or what I call the flavor of the development of the month is. You know, don't just go out and get involved with that. You need to look at the comprehensive plan and find yourself involved with the various elements. There are a lot of various elements. There's a future land use element, a transportation element, water wastewater element, stormwater. We even have a historic preservation and cultural affairs element, housing element. So no matter almost what your interest is, we have an element that says what the future will be associated with that. The other thing I just wanted to briefly touch on before we open up for questions is the U.S. Census. And this will be happening this year, as it happens every 10 years. The forms will be going out in early March and should arrive at your homes approximately the second week in March. It is really vital that you fill out the forms and send them back for 2 or 3 reasons. One, if you don't like being bothered by folks, the Census Bureau, if you don't return it, will have to send somebody to your home to ask you why you didn't fill it out. And if you don't want to waste money, please fill it out and just mail it in. Secondly, all of our redistricting in the entire United States will be based on those population numbers that come out of the census. And third, our revenue sharing funds are based on population, and it is really critical that we get that information in, because we need more local government revenue to fund projects. Now I'm going to open it up for questions.
Thank you. And in fact, we are open for questions. First question.
I'm Jean Chalmers. Excellent presentation. Thank you so much. I'm interested in overlays and how you decide where you're going to do an overlay for planning, and if overlays mean that we can make faster changes and do things more creatively. I'm concerned that it takes too long to make change in this rapidly changing economy. And I can give you a for instance. We've allowed all of these apartment buildings for students around the university, and yet we allow no storage units at all. I have a building there that I'm marketing now where two people are going bankrupt, and it would be perfect for storage. But the process of getting it changed in MU2 to allow it is months and months and months. So am I right that an overlay does produce a more rapid change and a more in-depth, thoughtful change? And if so, how do we get an overlay over a part of town like South 13th Street, where I'm not able to sell houses because of what's happened on South 13th Street? So could you address that issue?
Yes.
Thank you.
Be happy to. Within the city's zoning code, or now referred to as the land development code, there are things called overlay districts. I just want to describe those for a minute. That cover certain smaller areas of the community. Sometimes they're called special area plans. Sometimes they're called overlay districts. And within those, we have special regulations for how the community will develop. And just as some examples, there's a special area plan for Southwest 13th Street for primarily the corridor as it runs from Depot Avenue down, including this area. There's one for the College Park area. There's one for the University Heights area. And then there's one for the Fifth Avenue area. So we have several of these special area plans. When I talked about clarifying the mixed use and the activity center and the urban design requirements, this is one of the problems that we're trying to cope with, is that we've done sort of a patchwork band-aiding of these overlay districts. And while we're bright planners, sometimes the regulations are conflicting with what our goals are. So the answer is yes, we are trying to look at all our overlay districts. It takes a while. It has to put an overlay district or a special area plan. It has to go through the city plan board and the city commission and get adopted. So it's not a rapid process. On the other hand, we have sometimes the plan development rezoning category to go to, which is a unique zoning category for something that would not, under normal circumstances, be allowed, but can be put into place at times if it's consistent with the future land use element and with the comprehensive plan. I'm not sure I've answered your question, and yes, we are in hard times now. These are these are unique situations. I guess my parents were Depression era, and they might understand this better than I do, but these are very interesting times in which we live, and there are a lot of challenges ahead of us.
Yes, I'm Richard Hires. I was wondering, in the planning stage now, is there much attention being given to planned unit developments, to PUDs, areas that would include preserving natural areas, perhaps having local shopping available, and housing spread out in a way that avoids overcrowding and yet makes good use of the land area? Well, you're familiar with that. You know. I just wondered to what extent we have planned unit development now, and whether that's going to be part of the future.
That's a really good question, and it's, I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about the city of Gainesville, and I know that Commissioner Brown knows all about Alachua County as a whole, but within the city, we have not that much vacant land. So when we are talking about the city of Gainesville, we are talking about how it will redevelop for the most part and not starting with a blank slate. Now, there are some areas that we've annexed up to the far northwest called the Plum Creek property and then Hatchet Creek property. But for the most part, the way that Gainesville is going to change is by redevelopment. And redevelopment is harder to do exponentially than what is known as greenfield or vacant land development. So that's one thing that you need to keep in mind. We do have the planned use district land use category and the planned development zoning category available to allow those mixture of uses and also to preserve the conservation areas. Primarily what we've been able to preserve in the past were the wetland areas, but as I said, we now need to start looking beyond that and look at some of those upland areas also. Those two are critical to us. When we are looking at activity centers, mixed use requirements, and urban design requirements, that to me is the most critical thing that we can do in the next 10 years, because when we redevelop, if somebody tears something down, we want to make sure that it's better than it was in the past. It's okay to say we made mistakes in the 60s and 70s, but by golly, if you're doing it from here forward, you ought to do it better, because we're smarter than we used to be.
John Ryskin. Whether we like it or not, we have an urban donut around our city, and to plan the future land use, comprehensive land use in the city, hopefully requires some coordination with the county. Could you describe the interaction between the two entities?
Yes, and in fact, the county has recently gone through this exact exercise with their comprehensive plan and their evaluation and appraisal report, and is ongoing with doing what are known as the evaluation and appraisal report based amendments to their comp plan. It's not too late to get involved with that. And they have some very good proposals that are coming forward. In fact, they have a mobility plan that instead of widening all the roads and trying to cater to the automobile, they're working on a mobility plan for bus rapid transit, for better pedestrian mobility and better bicycle mobility. So get involved. It's not just the planners who need to interact, but it's also community members. In terms of intergovernmental coordination, I think I have a really good working relationship with the county planning and public works staff, and we interact regularly, especially on the big projects, because that's important. The bigger the project, the broader the impacts, both, you know, if it's inside the city to outside or outside the city to inside. We frequently provide comments back and forth. And we go back and forth with presentations. The county has been invited to the city to provide input on its mobility plan. And the city recently was designated a transportation concurrency exception area citywide. We made a presentation, in fact, just last month at the county commission. So we do find that we interact fairly well. One of the things that our department is participating in is with the city of Alachua, because we share a border with them also, and they are a growing community and have an impact on us also. And we are trying to work out better intergovernmental coordination, especially on transportation and land use issues with the city of Alachua and the city of Gainesville, so that we can coordinate better. We're going to have some major developments that will impact them. The GRU biomass facility is right, you know, butting up on the border of Alachua, and the trucks bringing in the biomass fuel will be using the interstate exit in their area and coming through the city of Alachua in part. So yes, intergovernmental coordination is vitally important, and we need to keep doing a better job. But it's not just the planners that need to do that. It's citizens that need to work on both sides also.
David Chalmers. John Ryskin asked about the donut, and I'm interested in the hole in the center of the donut. One thing that was not mentioned in your presentation is the University of Florida. I'm president of a neighborhood association, and our relationships with the University of Florida go up and down. At the moment, they're in very good order, I think, and the university is more responsive than it has been in times past. And so I'd like to ask you not to describe the structure and functioning, but could you indicate several areas in which planning and the university's planning are involved in serious discussions?
Well, I can give you a big one that occurred in the past, which was the Shands Cancer Center Hospital, that the city actually reviewed all of those plans and participated in sort of the design and the site layout of that. And that's a major facility associated with the university. We do not deal with things that are on the university property itself, only things that are off of the campus. But we, for example, they're working on some East Side Gainesville plans, and we are looking at those. We regularly interact with the university on transportation issues through monthly meetings. In terms of major university projects, they try to give us a heads up as to what their building construction program is going to be. There is something called the Campus Master Plan or the Campus Development Plan, and that is updated just like our comprehensive plan every 10 years. The university is going through an update process on that, and we are receiving documents sort of back and forth, and they are invited as a stakeholder in our evaluation and appraisal report process for the city's comprehensive plan, and we are participating in their campus master plan. In addition to that, there are a variety of forums within the city. The Community Development Committee has been a major one concerning student housing and its relationship to neighborhoods. We have a neighborhood planning program that has tried to assist in that process. So we try our best to communicate with them, and I would agree with you that there are years when we go up and down. I would say the last 5 years have been very good with communication with the university, and we hope that that can continue.
I'm Bob Hornberger. What impact on the city has the legislatures and the governor's gutting of the Growth Management Act had?
I followed Senate Bill 360, which I think is the bill to which you're referring, which had some very major implications for the city of Gainesville. And I participated in a great many of the proposals that we've brought forward that are as a result of Senate Bill 360. The first thing that it did was for what are called dense urban land areas, and the city of Gainesville qualified as one because we had more than 1,000 persons per square mile within city limits. And in fact, we're actually double that. It's about 2,100 persons per square mile in the city of Gainesville. As a result, the what is known as Development of Regional Impact rule no longer applies within the city of Gainesville. So Butler Plaza, which was moving forward as a development of regional impact, stopped that process and is just being treated now as a regular comprehensive plan amendment for changing the land use from the residential and industrial to its PUD or planned use district within the city of Gainesville for the retail office type activities that will be there. So that was one change, is that the development of regional impact regulations went away. There are sort of upsides and downsides to that. One of the things we've talked about is sort of moving more quickly and sort of deftly through the development process. And the development of regional impact process is a long, tedious, drawn out 2 to 3 years type of process. And so if you're trying to react more quickly in the economy and you don't have to go through that process, there's an advantage to the developer and sometimes an advantage to the local government if you have a situation where you want to see something happen. Some of the downsides are that when you have a development of regional impact, there's a better forum for the formal intergovernmental communication and impacts that occur. To try to offset that, the city of Gainesville has invited impacted local governments and state agencies, including the Florida Department of Transportation and Alachua County Growth Management and Public Works, to attend our hearings and give us input on the process. And in fact, we actually memorialized that in a comprehensive plan policy that has gone to the state saying that if you would have been a DRI, save for the fact that Senate Bill 360 was passed, that you do need to address the impacts on other local governments and other local agencies. And again, we have adopted that into our comprehensive plan as a formal procedure. The other change, some of the other changes that Senate Bill 360 made were that they changed transportation concurrency rules. And this is a little bit of an esoteric concept, but what transportation and this is my area of expertise, so if I get boring, somebody, John out there, just wave your hand and tell me to be quiet. What transportation concurrency said was, if there is not capacity on the road, then the development cannot occur. Senate Bill 360 for dense urban land areas, which again the city of Gainesville was, erased that requirement and established us as a citywide transportation concurrency exception area. One of the things that I truly, from the deepest part of my heart and my brain, think is that transportation concurrency was a wonderful thing in principle, but it was not a good, workable law. And let me give you an example of why. In the city of Gainesville, most of our roads were failing, and we were turning down development and redevelopment over 10 years ago, 1999, because we didn't have the roadway capacity. So what happened was that development leapfrogged, headed out to Jonesville and beyond. A lot of those trips still came into the city and made our congestion worse, and we were left with a lot of vacant buildings that, you know, were deteriorating. And my favorite example of this was the Scotties on University Avenue. I had to drive past that building every day on my way to work, and we were turning down redevelopment proposals for that because there was no roadway capacity. In 1999, we adopted a transportation concurrency exception area that covered about 80% of the city at that time. As a result, the Scotties redeveloped. There was vandalism going on there. There was criminal activity, drug activity, and now it's a thriving mixed-use center with both residential, non-residential, shopping, the movie theater, etc. So in that sense, I really don't believe that has hurt our community. The reason I don't think it's hurt our community is that we didn't do it as a giveaway program. When we adopted a transportation concurrency exception area, and we have now put this across the entire city, if you develop in the city, you have to mitigate your trips, but not by roadway widening or, you know, new road construction, but rather by supporting the transit system, sidewalk systems, trying to help the gridding of our community's roadways, things like that. We have worked very hard to not look like what I refer to as the Dale Mabry mess down in the Tampa. And again, I come from that environment because you can widen the roads will get congested, and you still won't resolve the problem. What you need are other viable choices and modes of transportation and support for those. And so, for example, if you have ever noticed that there is a sidewalk that was built, I think, about 5 or 6 years ago on the west side of 62nd Boulevard in front of the mall, there never was a sidewalk there. The transportation concurrency exception area fully funded the construction of that sidewalk by developer payments to the TCEA, or Transportation Concurrency Exception Area. So I don't think it's been all bad. The third area that Senate Bill 360 did was it required the city to extend development orders and development permits for 2 years past their expiration date if they expired between September 1st of 2008 and January 1 of 2012. And I think we processed about 20 or 25 of those. The implications of that, we don't know, because if the economy booms within the next year, they've only gotten 2 years extension. But, you know, we may get some overbuilding as a result of that. So I would say that's the one I'm most uncertain about. Did I answer your question?
Okay. I'd like to thank our speaker today and recognize her by presenting her with our normal Florida Free Speech Forum mug and a year subscription to our newsletter. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Now, our next forum will be on February 8th, 2010. But before we adjourn, I'd like to recognize the great work of Mr. Bill Beckett, our engineer from WUFT-FM. This will be his last week. He will now be relocating to Shreveport, Louisiana. Thank you, Bill, for all the great work you've done. With that standing ovation, well deserved, we now adjourn.
You've been listening to the Florida Free Speech Forum on WUFT and WJUF. Today's program was recorded for broadcast on Monday, January 11th, 2010, at the Paramount Hotel and Conference Center in Gainesville. And today's guest speaker was Onelia Lazzari, the Concurrency Management Planner for the City of Gainesville. She discussed the major planning issues facing Gainesville for the next 10 years and addressed the importance of the comprehensive plan for the future of Gainesville. You can listen to this program again on the WUFT FM archive by going to wuftfm.org/archive. That's wuftfm.org/archive. Look for Florida Free Speech Forum with Onelia Lazari. This program was recorded for broadcast by WUFT and WJUF, and the recording engineer and producer was Bill Beckett. And this has been a production of WUFT FM in Gainesville and WJUF in Inverness, a public broadcasting service of the University of Florida.